The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Off the ball, rugby.
With Loughman and the two young wingers, and then you got Stuart McCluskey. These guys have sort of said, I've dreamt about this. I've always wanted to play at Twickenham. I don't know if I'm going to get another chance, but I'm taking it. I am not letting this day go. I'm grabbing this mongrel by the throat.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
So a chance now with less than 2 minutes to go. Kempis versus Shelton. No chance, 2-2. Kempis' second goal, and Shelton was left without a hope.
Mario Kempes, the star of Argentina's first World Cup triumph in 1978, scored a whopping 303 goals over the course of his career, which included spells at Valencia, Rosario Central, River Plate and Instituto. But what if his career had taken a different path and ended up at Spurs? Well, just years after helping his nation win their first World Cup, he nearly joined his fellow countrymen in Ozzy Ardiles and Ricky Villa at the North London club. But why didn't the deal get over the line? Well, in episode 4 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, Richie explains why the transfer didn't come to fruition for one of the best strikers in the world of the 70s and 80s. Find this week's episode in your OTB Football podcast feed for free each and every Monday. You can also go back and listen to the other episodes in this series focusing on Michael Laudrup, Pelé and Ronaldo. Subscribe in your OTB Football podcast feed now.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Right then, we are here at the Aviva Stadium with FAI CEO David Carell. David, good to chat to you. You've had a pretty busy few weeks. I know that the entire intention was supposed to be about Israel today and those couple of fixtures that are coming up in the UEFA Nations League. So we may as well start there. Sure. With regards to those fixtures. The game is happening. The games are happening. The Republic of Ireland will play Israel. How comfortable are you with rolling out the red carpet for the Israel national team here at the Aviva Stadium?
So I think we've been consistent on our position that while our members and the association have made our position clear to UEFA about our sentiment of Israeli involvement in international football, that they are still entitled to play under UEFA regulations, and therefore we will fulfill these fixtures. We're one of two federations that have made that position clear, and you know, made our voice heard within NEON. However, the games go ahead and we will fulfill them.
The other federation being Norway?
No. Turkey, actually. Turkey. Yeah, on a formal basis.
Had there been another country, such as the Norwegian situation, who did play Israel previously, and had they followed through with, say, a boycott, do you think the Republic of Ireland would boycott these fixtures?
So we have to look at this through the prism of what's right for Irish football. And I know that's very difficult for some people to comprehend, given the gravity of the situation in Gaza. But be it the board or the executive are tasked with safeguarding the future of Irish football. And the reality of forfeiting two games will result in an immediate sporting impact for not only the men's national team but broader association in the form of a 6-point deduction. We're playing in the Nations League B. Israel are our closest seed in the group. We would slide down the group ranking. We would find ourselves potentially competing to stay in B. Every likelihood we could slip into C. our Nations League position at the end is a key defining factor for the seeding for Euro 2028 qualification. So if you look at it purely on the basis of sporting merit of fulfilling these fixtures, it is pretty significant impact for the team and the association if we don't proceed, and therefore we will be.
It goes beyond sport, the questions of Israel, and what your own General Assembly as the FAI brought to proceedings was a way in which you can really challenge UEFA on this, in the way two UEFA statutes have been in breach by Israel and their football association. How much did you think that you could follow that up with UEFA? How much did you take UEFA to task on this and really get an answer from them as to how concerned they are regarding their own statutes being broken?
So, I think it's fair to say we've been in conversation with UEFA for quite some time, even before the motion was brought forward from our members. When that came forward, it was quite a powerful statement on behalf of the association to take to UEFA and make our voices heard. We have consistently, over the period from November when that was submitted to now, have consistently followed up with UEFA to see if there will be any movement. Unfortunately, there hasn't been.
What did they say?
Well, I think from their perspective, circumstances, they have to look at it in the round. They are the Federation for European Football. There's 55 federations. Two have formally come forward to voice their position. So I have to respect the position that they adopt. That's their role in the international framework, and we are just part of it.
Do you think they should have acted to pass on sanctions or even to ban Israel from UEFA competition?
All I can say is our members have made our position clear. We have made our position clear. It is a matter for UEFA to decide how they then interact with that or take that on board.
The idea of a boycott, to be fair, has been something that's split opinion. I think there is, to be fair, a lot of genuine sympathy for the FAI position on this. Do you believe in the power of sporting boycotts?
Again, I'm here in my capacity as a football administrator, and my role is to safeguard the future of Irish football. I do not think it's within the interest of the Irish game for us to boycott these games, and therefore we're not doing so.
Is that because of the financial situation of the FAI?
No, it's as said, I've only led out with the sporting implications, which are enough for me to merit the decision. There's then obviously reputational and financial and operational complexities that follow. But as said, we have to look at everything through the prism of sport as opposed to the broader geopolitical landscape, which I understand is huge and deep sentiment, not only in Ireland and many other parts of the globe, about what's unfolding, and we are hugely sympathetic to that. But it is our jobs as custodians of the game to look out for the interests of Irish football.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at byersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Optimize your body and mind with IQBar's clean, functional products. Have you ever said to yourself, I don't even have time to eat? Girl, you need to throw an IQBar plant protein bar in your purse. Yes, we know you're busy. We all are. We're women. But it's beyond time to stop sacrificing your nutrition, your wellness, and your peace of mind. Try IQBar. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. Or try our delicious IQBar sampler pack with 9 plant protein bars, 8 hydration mixes, and 4 mushroom coffee sticks. So clean, so delicious. You don't even have to think about it. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code BRAINIQ to get an exclusive offer just for our listeners. 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code BRAINIQ. IQBar.com, code BRAINIQ.
Was there any part of you that was tempted to consider Ireland as being at the forefront of leading a sporting movement for what the members of the FAI believe to be right in this situation? Like Brian Kerr saying that there's a great opportunity here for the FAI to show a pair of balls here in this situation, especially because the consequence is playing League C football. could be a much worse punishment. You could never play UEFA competition again. It is a short-term thing. Would Irish people give up, you know, playing League B in 4 years' time in the Nations League or wherever the next competition is? I suspect they might.
Well, I've just outlined what the immediate impact would be. There is a whole range of possibilities that could flow from that. And, you know, we're talking in hypothetical landscape here about what those could be. But I said, based on the immediate impact, that's enough for us to opine that it's not within the interest of the game.
On the matters of this week then, and the scenes between Dundalk and Drogheda, and the aftermath given Minister Patrick O'Donovan and what he was saying with David McCullough on Monday morning, it was a pretty heavy-handed response from the Minister from Friday. I don't think anybody disagrees, and it's not even a topic of conversation about whether or not those scenes were savoury or unsavoury. They were clearly very unsavoury. It was an appalling act. Nobody should be getting hurt in the manner that that 12-year-old did at the game on Friday. However, your opinion on the response from the Minister, there has been a situation here where funding for other Astro projects has been paused, where clubs other than Drogheda have been punished in the short term for the actions on Friday. What's your opinion on that?
So, as you referenced, Owen, I think, you know, first of all, best wishes to the young child that was impacted. Thankfully, no lasting damage, but the reality is it should never have happened. I think the actions that unfolded on Friday night by a minority of our supporter base was unacceptable. Just fundamentally deplorable to put someone at risk in that manner, to intentionally damage a brand new facility that, you know, Irish football has campaigned for so long to get increased investment into facilities, and this is the thanks we show. That is not how the association, the league, or Irish or our Irish football community should behave or want to behave. And again, it's a small minority that are having an impact on the broader picture. I think the Minister has rightly called out this poor behaviour. It is a challenge that we are contending with, and we welcome the opportunity to work with him and also Department of Justice on, you know, what we, the FAI, the League of Ireland, can do to further mitigate these situations, but also what can we do in collaboration about potential legislation or changes that could improve the situation, not only for the league but also other sports. It's not exclusively an issue for football.
It sometimes feels that it is an exclusive issue for football, certainly in terms of the language used from government when it comes to trouble at games. No doubt that there is a specific atmosphere that you see at League of Ireland games involving flares and pyro, and I accept that. But other sports have their issues as well. Gaelic Games, for example, has had a couple of situations in the past couple of months where people have encroached from the stands onto the pitch and attacked players. And yet the idea of withholding state funding is never the eventuality that is forwarded by government officials. Why do you think that is?
To be honest, my focus is solely on football. I don't know the intricacies of those examples you've brought forward, and I'm not here to critique the Minister's response to the situation. I think the reality is we acknowledge that we had an issue on Friday night, that we have a role to play in resolving it, and also collaborating with others to hopefully improve it, not only for football, but for other sports. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I'm not sure if I'm in a position to actually do so.
Look, and listen, I mean, you have a relationship with the government. I mean, there is a bailout there, and I understand that relationships need to be protected. Maybe in terms of the specifics then of this week, I know that there was an FAI board meeting last night. I know that the Minister has said this week that you need to have a plan put in front of them by tomorrow in terms of how you're going to actually deal with this going forward. What is that going to look like from an FAI standpoint?
So I haven't seen the Minister's comments in that regard, but we did sit with the Minister and his team today, and we outlined all of the actions that the association takes as a matter of course anyways in terms of combating pyrotechnics. For the last number of years, we have been trying to lead from the front in terms of hosting anti-pyro campaigns. So there's three ex-League of Ireland players that are now gainfully employed by the Dublin Fire Brigade. They kindly supported a campaign that ran a couple of years ago. Every year at the start of the season, we have a safety and security conference that we host here in the Aviva Stadium. We bring all of the experts from the relevant clubs in here, and we advise them and guide them on all the different developments in the game, including bringing the international expert in pyrotechnics who works with UEFA over here to meet with all of our club leads. We then obviously have the standard protocols of pre-season meetings with the different fan groups to advise them of the regulations. We have, the clubs have the match day minus whatever number of days meeting with An Garda Síochána to agree the policing plan, etc. So there is already rigorous efforts in place. In terms of what are we doing now, so there is a disciplinary committee unit within the association which will be opining on the sanctions that will be brought to bear. They sit tomorrow evening and will be defining what the outcome of that is for the offending clubs. And then more broadly, with the minister, we are outlining what other actions we can do to further bolster what we've been doing to date from a league and a club perspective, be that increased searches or be that increased CCTV presence in grounds to ensure we have more evidence to actually furnish the police so they can take more action on the matter. So there's quite a suite of things that we're considering, and we are continuing to liaise with the department on those.
How many Astro projects were paused this week?
To the best of my knowledge, there's only one live Astro that was in the process of drawdown, so that is currently on delay, and I am hugely sympathetic with that club, and we're working with the department to unlock this situation as quickly as we can.
Do you think that's a reasonable reaction to the actions of a few Drogheda fans?
Again, I think the minister was justified in calling out what was poor behaviour, but I'm not here to critique his action or reaction to the situation. Ultimately, we recognise there was a series of issues on Friday night that we need to address, and I'm confident that in collaboration with the department we can unlock that funding and get it flowing again very swiftly.
He had also opined on the idea that there should be the possibility of there being behind closed doors games within the League of Ireland.
Well, that is always part of our suite of options available to the DCU. We often impose fan bans for excessive pyro behaviour or poor behaviour. Look, I want to say to the fans, I don't want anybody to walk away from listening to this interview thinking that we, the FAI or the league, don't appreciate them. Our fan base is immense. We've got 1 million-plus people turning through our turnstiles every year. And we've done brilliant work with the clubs to try and grow the game. The product on the pitch is fantastic. The atmosphere the fans create is phenomenal. However, a small minority are taking things too far. And you do not necessarily need pyrotechnics to create a strong atmosphere. We want our games to be hospitable environments where friends and family can feel that they can come and enjoy the league and all the beauty of the sport on the pitch. And I think credit to the fans, the strong majority that come and celebrate the game for what it is. But we do need to work to, I suppose, eradicate some of the minority elements that are unfortunately having a negative impact.
On the Astro point, it's a tangent compared to the talk of this week. But given the talk of the last 2 months in terms of the weather that we've had here in Ireland, the idea of synthetic pitches, Astro pitches around Ireland, that there has been a suggestion that there needs to be a greater strategy with regards to the prioritisation of those types of facilities. What is the FAI doing to ensure that more young people can play football in the months of January and February?
Yeah, well, leaving aside our aligned calendar conversation, which I think...
Is that dead in the water?
No. We're still obviously in a period of reflection on it. Leaving that aside, because I know you and your team have covered it extensively, and we're grateful for that, because I think it's such an important topic. But leaving that aside, in terms of facilities, it is an issue for the game. And we actually are at a juncture now where artificial pitches are... like even in my own club, the reliance on them, they're inundated, swarmed by teams sharing a sliver of a pitch to do their trainings because the grass pitches are off, 2 or 3 months in a row. So we would love to see increased investment. There is a slight complexity to it. There is European regulation that will kick in, I think, in 2031,
which is...
in terms of a ban on microplastic usage in artificial infill. So there is a directive from the European Union that all sporting bodies or anybody using that infill will need to move towards a more ecological solution. And the development of that technology still hasn't really reached its point. So we're probably fine for the next year, maybe next couple of years in terms of the Sports Capital and Equipment Programme, or now titled Community Sports Facilities Fund, will hopefully still invest into artificial pitches in their traditional form. But the technology does need to evolve so that we don't reach this impasse of being able to install pitches.
Just one last thing, David. Sure. A story that's brewing over the past couple of days is regarding Michael Noonan and an agreement between Shamrock Rovers and his agent, which may be in breach of third-party regulations that were passed down by FIFA a number of years ago. Again, I understand this might have come up at the board meeting last night. To what extent have FIFA regulations been broken here, to the best of your knowledge?
So we're aware that there is a situation between the player and his family and the agent, and that has been brought to the attention of FIFA, who are reviewing the situation. So until they conclude their review, I'm not able to comment really on the intricacies of the situation.
Is there a case here as well where perhaps because John Martin had actually notified the Shamrock Rovers board of what was actually happening here, everybody was on the same page, there was no necessary smoke and daggers about the situation, the entire club knew what was happening?
Look, that's a matter for the club, if I'm entirely honest. All I can say about John since he joined the association in September is he's been phenomenal at landing in the environment. You know, for all the reasons I appointed him, he has shown amazing leadership, fantastic understanding of the landscape, his stakeholder management skills, his vision for the game. So John and I have discussed this. I am satisfied that he was operating in good faith, and yeah, no further comment. I think fair enough. The club will need to work through the situation with FIFA and the agent, and in the interest of the player in question, I wish them that it gets resolved as swiftly as possible.
So it's in FIFA's hands now?
Also with the club and the agent, obviously.
David Carell, CEO of the FAI, thank you for your time this afternoon. Appreciate
thank you
it.
Very much.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.